This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And we just realized in the chaos of our day, Anthony, we haven't had lunch yet.
Oh, man. No.
So, it's okay. I'll figure it out. Luckily, I'm operating from the home base today for reasons that will become clear in just a little bit. But, yeah, I can go raid my own fridge. It'll be okay. You have to be quick, though. Commercial breaks. Not that long. But coming up at 4:30 today, we have a nice chat with Sean McDonough of ESPN. He's going to join us ahead of tonight's Game 5 between the Capitals and the Canadiens. And then at 5 o'clock, the reason that I'm at home today is because speaking of things that are long, unlike the commercial breaks where I'm going to have to try to figure out how to eat some lunch, Sam Fortier popped by this afternoon, and we recorded a big old long podcast-length chat about the RFK Stadium pursuit, all the ins and outs, all the different things that you want to know. So Sam and I talked for probably 45, 50 minutes, and we're going to chop that up into two pieces for you over the next 2 days on the radio. So you'll hear that part one today at 5 o'clock. We'll also put the full thing uninterrupted on YouTube at Craig Hoffman and at the Team 980. But part one of our chat is today, 5 o'clock, here on the show. Beyond that, NBA playoffs is probably the big story, Anthony. And, man, you called it yesterday as we were, the Bucks are up big. They're holding on. And you go, they're still going to lose. Why were you so confident? And then we can get to why you were right.
To be honest, like, we talked about it yesterday. Indiana's offense, they've just been clicking on all cylinders. And to be honest, it just took, you know, I guess the last three quarters for that offense to, you know, start to get going. And that's essentially what happened. Also, I think the Bucks, they sort of just ran out of juice, energy at the end of the game. Like, I feel like when you play so many minutes, fatigue eventually starts to kick in. And some of the turnovers that they had late in those games were just, I think it was just fatigue. Because there's no way I can just pass you the ball, you're wide open, and you just lose all types of concentration and the ball just slips through your hands, or you forget that, hey, this is the NBA. You cannot get trapped in the corner on an inbound. And I don't know. I just feel like when you're fatigued, sometimes your mental you forget some
things. you're it's 100% what happens. Yeah. Like your central nervous system, which is the mechanism that connects your brain to your body, it gets tired. It gets fatigued. And when your body is tired, like those signals don't travel as well. They don't get to where they're supposed to be. And like that's science for you. And so, yeah, 1,000%. It's not weakness. It's not like anything other than you've asked your body to do too much and you're out of gas at the end. And that is 1,000% part of this equation of the Bucks just absolutely not only falling apart from the big lead that they had, but they're up 6 with 40 seconds to go.
Eight.
Seven.
Eight with
Eight?
35 seconds.
What was it? What, was it 118, 110?
Oh, no, Dang. They were up seven. They were up seven.
I thought it was 118, 111.
Yeah.
So 118, 111, 40 seconds to go. And they blow it overtime, or not even overtime. They go to overtime, and then Halliburton gets the game winner there on getting to his right hand, and everyone just couldn't believe that they let him to his right hand. But that's what happens when you're fatigued. The other guy's better. And I think with the Bucks, the thing that's like mind blowing is they did this to themselves in so many ways. I get the Dame trade to an extent, and obviously they've been tremendously unlucky with Damian Lillard, but he was also hurt at the end of his career in Portland, and you took that risk. Giving up Jrue Holiday was so dumb. And this is the thing that like kind of blows my mind is I feel like there are so many teams in professional sports that don't understand what make them good. And what made the Bucks a championship level team was, sure, they have one of the best five players in the world playing at the peak of his powers in Giannis Antetokounmpo, and they still do, right? Like, Giannis in this series was unbelievable. His numbers were insane. And they still lost. They didn't get swept. It was 3-1 or 4-1, right? Yeah, it was 4-1 by the end of it. So they get a gentleman sweep 4-1. Despite the fact that one of the three best players on the planet played like one of the three best players on the planet. But they have no depth. Their scoring is very haphazard, and you can point to Lillard for that. But they used to be great defensively. Great. And it was because they had maybe the best defender in the league in Giannis, who can do everything and guard anyone, and the best perimeter defender in the league in Holiday. And they gave up that thing that made them special, especially in the playoffs when the game slows down and it's a little more isolation-y at times, where you could stick Giannis or Holiday on basically anyone. And then they had their schematics let Brook Lopez protect the rim. And they gave that up for more scoring. And I just think that was a very stupid decision. Like, at the time, I was like, I get trading for Dame, but I don't like this. I don't think that anytime you Jrue Holiday is leaving your team, that's a bad decision. And I think a team like the Celtics was like, hell yeah, we can get Jrue Holiday. And that is the thing that I think happens in the NBA more than maybe any other league. Is teams don't realize who's worth paying for, who's not. And at times, I think, don't even recognize the powers of their own talent. And whether it's ego or whatever, they get rid of Bud despite the fact that he's winning 60 games every year. They get rid of Jrue Holiday, even though he was the second most important player on that championship team. And now they're just a middling Eastern Conference team that is staring down the barrel of a summer where the best thing for their future might be training Giannis Antetokounmpo. I still don't think that's the case. I know there was some articles that were written that's like, this is the only way out. If you're trading Giannis, you're trying to get Giannis back. And maybe it's on a different timeline, and maybe that's worth it. They're just cooked, and they can't maximize the Giannis timeline, so they're better off trading him now versus holding on to him too long. But I would not trade him. There's basically no circumstance where I would trade him. Unless you're telling me that the team with the number, like, if the Wizards win the lottery, and the Wizards will give you the number one pick and let you take Cooper Flagg. Okay, now we can listen. Now we have an offer that I'm at least interested in. Outside of that, I don't care how many first round picks I get. Like, I'm not interested. I'm trying to build something around Giannis. But they had the thing around Giannis and they let it go. And that was dumb, I guess is my point here.
Did you just pitch Wizards trading potentially number one overall pick too?
I wouldn't do that if I was a Wizards. Like, okay, that's all due respect. Like, if Cooper Flagg is as good as we think that he is, and by the way, I don't think the Wizards, like, there's almost no trade where you wouldn't be like, yeah, we'll give that up for Giannis. And then by the same token, like, that's the one of the two trades. Like, I wouldn't trade Jokic for Giannis. I wouldn't trade, and that, like, Denver and Milwaukee, because of what he means to those two guys mean to those franchises, they would both say no. Steph Curry, obviously, like, if you wanted to be really, really cruel, because Steph's 37 and Giannis is like 29, then okay, you could make the argument there, but like, no, because he means too much. It just feels like bad karma. There's just not a lot of players not a lot of deals where I'd be like, yeah, I'm not giving that up if I'm getting Giannis in return. The rights to draft Cooper Flagg would be one of them.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But if I'm Milwaukee, like the same is true the other way. I'm giving up Giannis for almost like seven picks, like the Kawhi trade, or I should say the Paul George trade.
Yeah.
Like I'm not interested in that deal because the best thing that happens is I get a Giannis. But if I know that if I'm pretty sure I'm getting one in Cooper Flagg, that becomes a different conversation. So hopefully that's something we never find out because the Wizards just get that pick and they're like, we're good and everybody can buzz off.
Yep.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. A little bit more on the NBA side of things next. And maybe we'll touch on the Commanders kicker situation as well. They signed Matt Gay. We didn't get a chance to talk about that yesterday. But the Knicks blow a chance to advance last night. Will they grow to regret that? We'll talk about it next here on the Team 980.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. And we'll be joined by Sean McDonough coming up at 4:30. Anthony, where'd he go to school?
Should I take a good guess?
You should know, but go ahead and take your guess.
Syracuse University.
That is correct. He's a part of the Mafia.
Oh, yeah.
An OG Don of the Syracuse Mafia. I mean, not really. Like, the OG Don of the Syracuse Mafia was Marty Glickman, who went to school in, like, the 1930s. But, like, of the modern Syracuse Mafia, Sean was there before, like, Tirico, and, like, 10 years before Tirico and Ian were.
So he definitely wouldn't claim the mob, because isn't the Mafia like something new, like 2010 and on?
No, I mean.
Because I asked Scott Abraham.
It's definitely more older than that.
Okay. All right.
At least I kind of feel like starting with like Tirico and Ian and that crew in the 90s. Okay. And then there's like a good crew in the early 2000s of guys that went into various things. You know, DA, our pal Damon Amendolara, who's dominating on the sports talk scene. He was really good friends with Andrew Catalan, who calls games for CBS, both in the NCAA tournament and for the NFL. I think he was involved in the Masters coverage this year as well and has been for the last couple. Anish Shroff, play-by-play voice of the Carolina Panthers, who many folks know from ESPN's college football coverage. Like, he was 2004, so... Yeah, there's Danny Parkins from Breakfast Ball on Fox Sports 1, Nick Wright. So that gets us through like 20. Danny was 2010. I'm 2012, along with Kevin Brown, voice of the Orioles, 2011.
Nick Phil Wright Spalding. Is Syracuse?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Dang. Hey, look, part of the Mafia. Really do got a Mafia.
Yeah, we're around. Anyway, the point is Sean McDonough is going to join us at 4:30. Last night, on the call was Ian Eagle in New York as the Knicks took on the Pistons. And good for the Pistons for closing the game out.
Fine.
Because they certainly looked like they were about to. I was like, are you seriously about to blow this game? Are you seriously about to have this for the what feels like the fifth straight game, even though they won one of them? What is it? Defeat snatched from the jaws of victory.
Yep.
But they were able to close it out. And I mean, there's great shot making from the Knicks down the stretch, but you know they just did enough. And you know the thing is, like Detroit now at 3-2 going home, trying to break the longest home losing streak in the history of the NBA. They lost 9 straight home playoff games, which is an NBA record. And they've been the better team the entire series. they just haven't been able to close out these games. And you know, you see the way that like Asar Thompson's able to get in the paint last night. How many dunks did he have last night?
I don't know. K just kept finding him in the dunker spot though.
And just they like, what are you doing? But the Knicks just have this ability, and whether it's Towns hitting 30-footers, Brunson doing Brunson things, and Mikal Bridges hits this really tough pull-up three, they're able to just keep you within reach and then make crazy big plays late, and the Pistons save them off. But I would not be surprised at all if the Pistons win Game 6 and we're back at Madison Square Garden for a Game 7.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I think this series has been so neck-and-neck. And the fact that you just mentioned they had one victory actually taken away from them because the foul wasn't called. But I think it just shows who this Pistons team is. Like, they're going to fight and claw literally every minute of every game. And yesterday, Cade, you know, he was able to just make some plays down the stretch. And actually, in the fourth quarter, I'm surprised Tom Thibodeau didn't call a timeout. He had Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart sitting out. They had walked to the scores table because both of them got banged up. They went to the locker room. They went to the scores table at 2 minutes. Craig, they didn't enter the game until it was 27 seconds left in the game. Valuable possessions down the stretch that you didn't have your best player on the court, and then also Josh Hart. So I think sort of kind of it was on Tibbs, but shout out to Cade because he was able to make some plays down the stretch. And I'm looking forward to Game 6. I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. I didn't get a chance to watch any of the other games yesterday. Did you watch any of the Nuggets Clippers game last night?
I watched the Celtics and Magic game, and that game just got out of hand.
That got real nasty.
Like Paolo's fifth foul though. Like, they even challenged it and all, but him picking up his fifth foul, just it was bad. And then the Celtics went on like a 30-9 run to end the third quarter, and just like. That is the Celtics in a nutshell. Like,
that's the thing. NBA games are 48 minutes long, and boy, do you feel that. Any team in the league, from the Utah Jazz up to the Boston Celtics, they can compete with any other team. The Utah Jazz can compete with the Boston Celtics for 10 minutes, for 20 minutes, sometimes for 24, sometimes for 36. By the end of 48, especially in a seven-game series, you're going to see who the better team is. And sometimes it doesn't take that long. Sometimes it's Heat and Cavs the other night.
Yeah, that was ugly.
And it starts bad in the middle and ends somehow even worse, and you lose by 55.
Yeah.
But often it is like this, where it's a pretty close game at halftime. Magic win the first quarter, they're up at halftime, and then they lose the third quarter 36-13. That's the NBA. As Steve Levy used to say on SportsCenter, everybody makes a run. And then in the nightcap, Clippers Nuggets last night, Nuggets get game 5, at home, 131-115. They score over 30 in every single quarter of this game, but also defensively, they hold the Nuggets under 25 in the first and third quarters. Jamal Murray, 43 points, 7 assists, 3 steals. Anthony, did you actually get to watch this game, or do you want me to just read more stats from the box score?
Oh, no.
Because these numbers seem rather relevant.
Yeah, I watched the game. I think the numbers will add, you know, some more context to it. But Jamal Murray, he just couldn't miss. Like, big shot after big shot, and they just kept leaving him open. I'm like, dude, like, in big games, he's shown up, and he's been able to deliver. And I think this was a game 5, where, you know, he wanted his team to seize control of the series. He stepped up. I would not be surprised though if next game he has a game where he has like 8 points, because that is Jamal Murray.
Sometimes it is like that with him. But as a playoff performer, I feel like he's been fairly consistent. It's just like in the regular season, do you get the best out of him?
No.
Every single night. Heck of a night tonight. I mean, this is the night that TNT has been dreaming of. Because you got the Warriors, Rockets, and Timberwolves, Lakers. We'll get into some of this a little bit more later. But do you think, Anthony, these series extend past tonight?
Yeah, I think the Lakers, they're going to take it one game at a time, just like LeBron did in 2016. Granted, he's not, you know, how many years ago? 9 years ago? So he's not 31. But
sure isn't.
He's going to relay that message to his team. Let's get one. Let's defend home court. And then we'll take it from there. So I think they get game 5 tonight on their home court.
Yeah, I do as well. I actually kind of think the Rockets might get one tonight as well. But we'll see. If Jimmy Jimmy seems very ready to be done with old Dylan Buckets.
Yeah.
There. By the way, I forgot about this from the Pacers game. Mr. Halliburton.
That was crazy.
What are you doing? What is wrong with people, Anthony? In case you missed it, Tyrese Halliburton's dad, and again, we'll get into more preview of the Warriors-Rockets and T-Wolves-Lakers later on in the show, but Tyrese Halliburton's dad is like taunting Giannis after the game. Like, get off the court. You're a player's dad. Your son's a grown adult, and that man's an NBA champion. And I have to give a ton of credit to Tyrese Halliburton, because Tyrese Halliburton is asked about it afterwards, and he's like, yeah, my dad was wrong there. Pops stepped out. That wasn't cool. And, like, good for Tyrese, but just, like, that's absolutely ridiculous behavior from a grown adult.
Yeah, I don't like when parents try to make the moment about themselves. Like, I like the way Kevin Durant's mom goes about it. She's on the sideline, like, just clapping up her son.
Shouts out to Wanda, the real MVP.
But, yeah, people going on the court, making the moment about themselves. That's how you steal away a moment from your son. Like, your son literally just hit a game winner. He's on the scores table. That's where your attention should be, not on in Giannis' face, who's a champion, who has, you know, one of those rings that your son wants. So it's just like, wrong person to be talking trash to.
Yeah, I mean, even if it was to whoever else on the Bucks, like, yeah. It makes it extra stupid that it's Giannis, because you're like, buddy, you know who that is? Like, he's an MVP, he's a champion, he's everything your son wants to be. And, you know, Tyrese would be the first person to say that. But just, your dad. Congrats, you did a great job with your kid. Like, as a basketball player, he's doing quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you contributed genetically and in raising him, like, excellent work out of you. You sit on the sidelines. Get off the court. Get off the court. All right, when we get back, Capitals, they take the ice tonight looking to end their round one series with the Canadiens. The game is not only on Monumental Sports Network, it's also on ESPN, which means we can talk about it with ESPN's Sean McDonough. He joins us in 3 minutes on the Team 980.